You know, I love that song. So I thought I'd lay out and just play it for you on a Monday. What's cracking? That is my favorite song. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. Nice to be with you. Let's get this thing going. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How you living? What's up? Welcome to the Monday edition of the program. I've got a really good show for you today. Glad to be here. Let me get you started with your telephone number. The reason I'm going to do that is I do not have an interview until 9:40, 12:40 Eastern. That means you've got 40 minutes between now and then to get through. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Use it toll free. The XR4TI on the other side of the glass is fully intact. To my left, going from my left to my right, Alvy, Hawk, and the old man in the back, Rit. All three of them are here.
Game on.
Game on. Finally. So you have your telephone number. You get through Hawk. You get in the rotation. You get on the air. You make a difference. Maybe you get a golden ticket. Who knows? Maybe it's the one call that changes your life. Maybe it's the one call that gets you your own show, your own podcast. It's happened. Maybe it's the one call that puts you on the radar and you get to take my place one day. BIC was pushing for that recently. All right, so make that telephone call, or instead, if you want to hit me up on Twitter or social, you can do so on Twitter, on Instagram, at Jim Rome, or if you're one of those people that wants to fire off an email, you can do that too. The email address is Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, you know that drill. The interviews look like this. Charles Robinson, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, always brings the heat. He joins me at 40 past. We go back to back, in fact. I'll tell you, he's a hell of a football coach. Tom Allen straight up turned Jim Harbaugh inside out, didn't he? Indiana with a beatdown on Michigan. Hey, Michigan, man, how you feeling? First Michigan State, now Indiana. You know what's got to hurt even more than Indiana putting that beatdown on you? Is that it didn't surprise anybody at all. The better team won. The better program won. The better coach got over. Not surprising at all. And you still haven't been hammered by Ohio State yet. Tom Allen joins us. He's doing a great job at Indiana. Coming up in hour number three, a very good friend of the program, Wesley Woodyard. All right, you know, if it's Monday, I'm going to start with my NFL recap. Charger fan, this is going to hurt me way more than it hurts you. Actually, it's going to hurt just about everybody equally. Because that was a brutal loss yesterday. Just brutal. And I know you have experience with brutal losses, but it really does feel like yesterday's 31-30 loss to the Broncos might have been the worst. Right. Right. Yeah, I know what I said. That is how I started last week's show. And I could run back the exact same start and just change that 31-30 loss to the Broncos to a 31-26 loss to the Raiders, and it would still work. And this loss might really have been even worse than last week's loss. In fact, I know it was. I know it was worse. The only question now is this the Chargers' worst loss ever? Because this time, you thought you had won. That's what makes this so bad. This time you thought you had won. No, this time you didn't think you had won. You knew you had won. When Donald Parham Jr. caught this ball.
This is the game. Snap. They rush forward. Goes to Parham. Jump ball. Caught. Waiting for the signal. Signal is touchdown. Touchdown, Chargers. Donald Parham with the grab. Zeros on the clock. All Donald Parham does is catch touchdowns. There's both feet. It is not even close, DJ.
My guy, Matias DeNiro. Both feet and it's not even close, DJ. What a line. God, I love Mount Money. Mount Money Smith is one of my favorite guys. Man, he is so good. He is so talented. I love this guy. And they were fired up. In fact, those are two of my favorite guys ever. Matt Money Smith and Daniel Jeremiah. They're the guys on the call for the Chargers. And both feet in. It's not even close. They finally get over. And the Chargers lose their bleep. They were partying like it was a Super Bowl, understandably, because they finally got over a walk-off win. Man, that felt so damn good. Except it had to be reviewed. And when it was reviewed, one camera angle showed that the ball was out when the receiver hit the ground. Overturned, incomplete pass, game over, Raiders win, Raiders rule, Chargers suck, good night now.
Good night now.
And then the Raiders went crazy. A walk-off win, and the Chargers get kicked in the nads yet again. They have 6 losses this season by a combined 24 points. Somewhere, some old guy with a push broom stash is crying his eyes out. Show me your lightning bolt.
The ruling on the field has been changed. The receiver did not maintain control of the ball throughout the process of the catch. It's incomplete. Game over.
Love to say that I'm stunned, DJ, but you just can't be. It is remarkable.
I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, if DJ is saying things like, I've never seen anything like it, then you know it's never happened before. Man, these Chargers are absolutely amazing. I mean, seriously, these guys are incredible. They find new and inventive ways to lose every single week, with each L more gut-wrenching than the one before it. Just when you think it would be impossible to raise the bar, they do, again. I mean, like, the math does not add up. Mathematically, this is impossible. I could do an entire take. I could do an entire show. I could do 3 straight hours on how utterly brutal this is. But I'm going to spare you, Charger fans. I'm going to move on. Because it's not like it's not going to happen again. Because it will. And when it does, maybe then I'll give it the 3-hour treatment. We will jump off that bridge as soon as the Chargers burn that bridge. Because you know they will. Man. I mean, again. And when you think it can't be any worse, again, it is. However, Charger fan, just know this. As bad as it is, believe it or not, it could still be worse. It can always be worse. Just ask Bears fans. Because while getting your heart ripped right out of your chest on a weekly basis is going to hurt like hell, it's still not as painful as having to watch the Bears offense on a weekly basis. And don't be confused by those empty bullcrap points and yards that they tacked on late to make it look like they battled Tennessee to that 24-17 loss, because they didn't. The Bears offense was garbage.
Garbage.
Garbage again yesterday, garbage. Just like it always is. Garbage.
Garbage.
And let me ask you this. Has there ever been a bigger lie in life than the so-called 5-1 Bears?
You're a liar.
You're a felon. Remember how enraged Bears fans were when folks were calling them the worst 5-1 team ever, myself included? Yeah, well, they were that. In fact, they were even worse than that. The second biggest lie in life is you are what your record says you are. My ass, the hell you are, because their record said they were 5-1. Going into yesterday's game against the Titans, the Bears had the worst third down offense in the league. Then they lived down to that rep by going 2-for-15. 2-for-15 on third downs against a team, frankly, that can't stop anybody. Now that is a commitment to garbage. Go ahead,
garbage.
Avi. Thank you.
Garbage.
At one point, they had 25 yards on 15 plays. That's what the alleged offensive genius, Matt Nagy, will get you. That's what Nagy calling the shots. Nick Foles, under constant pressure again. You are what your record says you are. What bullcrap. Matt Nagy is an offensive mastermind. What bullcrap. And all the while, they're wasting one of the league's best defensive units. And they're asking them to continue to play at a level like that. Asking them to do so for very much longer is asking too much. And then at the other end of the spectrum, I'll give you something positive. How about the Carolina Panthers, who everybody expected would be pretty terrible? And they're actually pretty damn fun to watch. I mean, believe this. At 3-6, they're a much better watch than the Bears are at 5-4. I would actually pay decent money to watch the Panthers work, but you couldn't pay me enough money to sit through even one more Bears game. You don't believe me? Check this out. 4th and 14. Check out 4th and 14 from Teddy Bridgewater against KC.
Four-man rush. Bridgewater. Pocket collapses. He's in trouble trying to run it himself. Bridgewater diving, and he's there! Unbelievable! He flew through the air like Superman! Oh, my goodness, what an effort!
That is awesome. I mean, you're talking about giving everything you've got.
That is just unbelievable.
Honestly, that was maybe not like Superman, but definitely like Walter Payton. That was some Walter Payton bleep at the goal line. Like Teddy. Teddy was not looking to get down. Teddy was not looking to slide. He was looking to get up and make sure he got to the sticks, which is what he did. So it's been a really rough year for injuries. So it was cool to see Christian McCaffrey back out there doing what he does after that ankle injury. And then it sucks to see the report that he might miss more time with a shoulder injury. I mean, I've already seen way too much of this. I've already seen way too much when Dak Prescott went down. So one play from yesterday that I never want to see ever again was that Kyle Allen injury for Washington. In fact, I'm not going to see that again. If you want to see it, go find it yourself. I'm not showing it here. You just know it's bad when giant Jabril Peppers, the player who accidentally leg-whipped Allen and caused the injury, said this after the fact.
You know, we all have a little pact in this league. You know, guys have came from circumstances. Guys have worked hard to get here. So you never want to see a guy go down like that, man. So, you know, I just pray for him. You know, I apologize to him. You know, that I definitely didn't intend for that to happen. You know, I'm just trying to play hard, you know, make a play for my team. And, you know, I'm still praying for him. And I'm, you know, wishing him a speedy recovery.
I like that. I like that response. There's like a fundamental respect, or should be, of all the players in that league, that it's violent. We know what we signed up for, but guys are trying to provide for their families. They're trying to do what they do, and you never want to see that happen. So I do like the response. I hate the injury, but that's what happens in that league. Injuries happen. Alex Smith, as an example. Alex Smith is a prime example. We all know his backstory. We all know what he went through to make it back. He came into the game. He played really well, but as you might imagine, he was pretty conflicted about how he got into the game.
Obviously a ton of emotions going on for me right then, in the sense that I knew Kyle was down and knew it was pretty serious once he stayed down. So, you know, you snap into grabbing your helmet and getting ready to roll. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see him bring out the air cast in the cart. And I know that routine well.
Right. And it's a horrible routine. And here's hoping that Allen recovers swiftly and safely. Because the whole thing is just, it's raw, man. And the struggle is so real. But that said, you know me, I want to make things better, not worse. I'm here to keep things light. I'm here to keep things upbeat. I'm here to keep things positive. There's enough anger and frustration in this world. And I know that you come to me to get away from all that. And I happen to pride myself in being that guy who can provide that kind of happiness during such a challenging period. So allow me to do what I do best. Allow me to spread some good cheer. This will pick you up. This will make you happy. The Dallas Cowboys lost again. And this time, they came from ahead to do it against the league's last unbeaten team. Orlando Apollo legend Garrett Gilbert got the start at quarterback for the Cowboys. And what a moment that was. Garrett Gilbert now joins a very exclusive club of guys like Dandy Don Meredith, Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, and Ben DiNucci. And Gilbert was just about as good as you expect him to be, which is to say, not that good at all. But for a minute there, the Cowboys were mildly competitive. In fact, for a minute there, they had a double-digit lead over the previously, well, and still, undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. And they brought out all the tricks, like this punt return.
On a three and out, and it's again Wilson back and driven way back. Over the shoulder catch at the seven. And a throwback from right to left. The ball is caught by Goodwin up the left side to the 20. To the 30. C.J. Goodwin to the races. To the 30. Sideline makes a cut and gets tripped at the 10. Oh, Bones Fossil, you crazy man.
My man, Fossil. You crazy man. Check out the Cowboys with the razzle dazzle. Then again, why the hell not? They've got nothing to lose. Their dignity went down the toilet weeks ago. Then in the second half, the Cowboys, cowboyed down. Just like they always do. Just like you knew they would. They had that brutal Gilbert INT in the end zone.
Gilbert in the shotgun. 6 of 11 on third downs. He's back with a pass into the end zone. Intercepted by Minka. He brings it out to the 5. Tackled at the 8-yard line. A big takeaway for Minka Fitzpatrick with a marker down.
My goodness.
Give the people up front credit for that big turnover.
No, no. Instead, give the people what they want. That. Knowing that game was on the line, the Cowboys did what they always do. They did what they do best. They self-destruct. They implode. They melt down. They commit stupid penalty after stupid penalty late in the game. And they put it on a silver platter for the opposing team. Same as they ever were. But don't sweat it, Cowboy fan. The big boy. The big boy himself is on it. Check out Mike McCarthy.
Today's a reflection of what we're capable of doing. I think we're definitely taking the steps in the right direction the last 2 weeks. You know, as far as the understanding, the speed, we're trying to get things done. So we have a bye week. You know, we'll spend time in the self-scout of it all, both individually for the players and obviously all three phases, because it's time. We got to get going. Obviously, everybody knows what our record is, so we need to get going. You know, we need to start stacking wins.
Let me help you out deciphering that coaching word salad. I love a head coach of a 2-7 team saying, quote, "We'll get loaded up because it's time. We got to get going." Yeah, I love the urgency when you're 2-7. Hey, Michael, the time to, quote, get loaded up and the time to, quote, get going was before week 1, not before you take the field for week 11. I mean, dude, I know you used to coach Green Bay, and it's part of my favorite sports book ever, Jerry Kramer's Green Bay Packer Diary. He famously tells the story about Vince Lombardi telling his team at one point, "Gentlemen, now we begin the big push." I love that McCarthy at 2-7 is kind of implying as much. "Hey, gentlemen, now we begin the big push." Yeah, good idea, Michael. Good idea, because if you don't, you'll be back in that barn breaking tape with your equally unemployed assistants looking to con another owner into giving you another shot. Or even worse, you'll be sitting back in that little toll booth on the bridge letting people through, like back in the day. I'm telling you, man, 2-7 is not the time to begin the big push. Meantime, there are other matchups that I want to get into. Matchups that were circled, that we thought would be great. Other matchups that we circled that actually turned out to be great. Lots more where that came from. Couldn't even get my entire recap in the opening segment. In addition to that, I do want to break down a couple of games game by game. I want to talk about what happened at Tampa Bay. See, this is why you don't crown anybody's ass in November. Come to find out, the Bucs might not win the Super Bowl, because there was nothing about that performance last night that looked like a Super Bowl contender. We will get into that. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up if there's something you want to talk about that you think that I might not get to. Go off the board with it. I'm here for it. Bills Mafia, you made a statement. I like what I saw. In fact, I love what I saw from the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. I want to talk about Pat Mahomes. Check that. Patrick, have you ever seen a guy play as well as he has, as quietly as he has, and nobody's talking about it?
Mahomes?
Alex Trebek passed away. My boy the bird is not taking this well. Actually, there are tens of millions of people probably who are not taking this well. There are a lot of people who grew up watching him and that show at dinner time. So I've got a thought or two on that and how it relates to sports. I have Charles Robinson at 40 past. I've got Tom Allen at the top. Oh, athletes and their diets. One of my favorites. One of my favorites. Keith Smith and Chipotle. All of that is still ahead. Stay with it. It's everybody's favorite tournament. The golfers are in Augusta to compete for the coveted jacket. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of all the action. This week, DraftKings is giving you a shot at a $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using the promo code ROME. It's so easy to play. You pick 6 golfers, you stay under the salary cap, you submit your lineup before the tournament tees off on Thursday, then you sit back and you follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you will be winning to winning some green. Rack up points. Pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Just download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Code name ROME. And you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize. But it's only at DraftKings. Got a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for deets. DraftKings.com for details. Make sure you use that code name Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
As a reminder, Monday is in Ask the Pros Day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So if you want to ask the pros a question, which is the same thing as asking me a question, just go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. And remember, O'Reilly Auto Parts, for all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day, quickly. This is a shorter segment because the opening segment was a longer segment. Some quick reaction, then a phone call. Rome. It must be so tough being a Chargers fan and thinking you actually have a chance of winning each weekend. Your life must suck. Signed, Nebraska fans. Aaron in Omaha. War Scofro.
Omaha!
Bringing in 14 ice machines to his office to offset his hot seat. Scofro might be the lamest nickname ever. That's terrible, man. The problem with him being on the hot seat, I'm going to argue that if, quote, Scofro can't bring Nebraska back, if Scofro, of all people, I mean, you saw what he did in his previous gig. You saw what he did as a player at Nebraska. I mean, of all guys, if this guy can't restore them or bring them back to prominence, I'm going to argue that nobody can. That's what's really discouraging about that. Carl in Prescott tweets, Ward Chipotle being the great equalizer, signed Dodger Jim. All right, like on the one hand, I want to say
diarrhea to you, is the great
equalizer. Yeah, I know, Avi, I got that. I said that. I own that many times over. On the one hand, I want to say that there's no way that I would tweet myself and then read it back. And then on the other hand, I would say I would never gloss myself, but that's not true. I have. I do. Van Smack would never Dodger Jim himself, however. I stopped being Dodger Jim right around the time I turned 12. Like, at what point listening to this show did I sound like I was a Dodger homer?
You sound like a homer.
And you sound like a homer. When you say I sound like a homer, what you're really saying is you are a homer. Rome, 2-7 is the perfect time to begin the big push. Regards, people who start their 401k in their 50s. Steven PHX. Oh, there you go, Charles Schwab. All right, Steve. I'm sure you started much sooner. I'm sure you're good. Bro, I'm sure you never have to work another day in your life. I'm sure that your money earns money. Your interest earns money for you. You're one of those guys with that passive income, right? You make money when you sleep, eh, Steve? You must, because you have time to bring me down all day long with bad takes. I know you don't work. Mark in Hollywood, quote, you're going to talk about Chipotle. Why not just shine a Rex bat signal behind you? Well said, Mark. Well said. All right, so I said that I would have some reaction and a telephone call. There's the reaction. Here is the telephone call. Let's go to America's finest city, San Diego. Josh, what's going on, Josh? How are you?
Good, Romy. How are you, my man?
I'm great, dude.
I'm just calling to say, as a San Diego fan growing up, watching Philip Rivers going to games, taking my son to games, I'm a Charger fan again, and watching them lose is awesome. I don't know if the dirt farmers know that people from San Diego are not fans of people from L.A. So to watch an L.A. team just suck and appreciate the systemic failure of the Chargers leaving us in San Diego, Spanos and Telesco just blowing it, and watching the hearts get ripped out of pseudo fans that are from L.A. is just wonderful. So I guess I'm back to being a Charger fan there, Ronnie. War the West Coast, south of L.A., war Keenan Allen, and unwar the passing of Trebek. Thanks, Romy. I'm out.
Good job, Josh. Thanks so much. Rack him. I wish the quality on that call was a little bit better, the sound quality, because that was a good call. It's a good call in the sense that I understand why you feel that way if you're in San Diego. Personally, since I'm in between L.A. and San Diego, I live right in the middle. I live right in the middle. It's like equidistant. and I was born in L.A., and I lived in San Diego. And some of the best years of my life were in San Diego, personally, professionally. Believe me, if anybody is equipped to talk about this, it is me. I know. So I see both sides of it, honestly. If you're a San Diego fan, you say to me, man, I'm having a hell of a good time here. There is nothing better than seeing these guys get their hearts ripped out of their chest every single week, because that's what they did to us when they moved. I get that. I understand that. On the flip side of that, you know, I still like that organization a lot. I really do. I've got a lot of respect for the organization. And again, San Diego fan, I'm not saying you're wrong. You can tell me that I'm wrong to respect them, fine. But I'm not going to tell you you're wrong to be pissed and always be pissed. I get that. But I'm just saying, as somebody who is more objective, as somebody who's on the outside looking in, as somebody who did not grow up taking their kids to the games, it is a good organization with good people and good players and bad things that happen every single weekend. I tweeted it. I have never seen a team get its heart ripped out of its chest or something to that effect every single week the way the Chargers do. Yeah, but again, if you want to flip that on its head one more time, at least there's a guy in San Diego saying, you know what? I'm a Charger fan again. I thought that I never would be, but I am. I love this team again. For all the wrong reasons, but at least he's a fan, right? At least he's paying attention. When we come back, we'll talk some more NFL. A senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson, is going to join me. 1-800-636-8686. File that away, because we're actually going to go back-to-back. Charles Robinson and then the head football coach at Indiana. What an amazing job Tom Allen is doing there. It turned Jim Harbaugh inside out. But like I said, better team, better program, better coach. In what lifetime would you have ever said that about Indiana versus Michigan? Better team, better program, better coach. That's top of the hour. Time now for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Again, a really good Monday show for you. Coming up top of the hour, the head football coach at Indiana. They put that beat down on Michigan. Tom Allen joins me. And now number three, a good friend of the program, Wesley Woodyard, will be joining us. But as promised, we are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Also a good friend of the program, he is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today, brother?
Good, dude. Good. Good to have you back. Let me get right into it with you, because you had a great tweet last night and you posted it, quote, WTF is Brady doing? End of quote. Perfectly said. Now you've had some time to think on this, sleep on this. What the bleep was Tom Brady doing last night, Charles?
Well, you know, I think the book on Tom, even if you go back to the Patriots, he's always been a guy who he just doesn't react well to getting beat up in the pocket, you know, physical contact. And you could say that about every quarterback, but it's part of why you're seeing the NFL shift away from a lot of these pocket guys. When you look at the top 5-6 quarterbacks now, where the league's going, you know, it's even the big guys. Look at Justin Herbert. Everybody's hot on Justin Herbert right now. He's a big guy. You know, he looks like your standard pocket quarterback, but he can move. You know, he can create. You know, Josh Allen, another guy who looks like the old school, big, giant-armed pocket quarterback. Well, guess what? He can move. He can create. And, you know, Tom Brady and look, Drew Brees didn't get hit last night, but Drew Brees is another one of these guys where I think they're becoming, you know, sort of dinosaurs. That's why they're 40-year-old guys playing in the pocket. And opposing teams sit there and go, look, we get pressure on these guys. We don't even necessarily have to finish sacks. Just hit them, affect them, get in their face. You know, if you can get middle pressure, they're going to get frustrated. They're going to start to create mistakes. And I think you saw that with Tom. It was all about the line just looking completely overwhelmed. The Saints front looked amazing. And, you know, if that's something that's going to happen in the playoffs, the Bucs are going to get slaughtered. Like, you can't let Brady get hit that often, even in an offense like this. I don't think that's representative of what they're going to be the remainder of the season, but, you know, that fatal flaw has been there for a while with Tom, and you go to talk to Patriots coaches, talk to Patriots fans. If Tom gets hit consistently enough, you know, he gets frustrated. He'll throw some balls up. He'll throw, you know, he'll make some bad decisions. And, you know, it's something that's never really gone away, and it won't go away. Even his four sheets, like, you can't let these guys get hit in the pocket like this.
We're talking to Charles Robinson, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. Yeah, obviously, he did not care for that, and it went the way you would expect when you keep banging on a guy like that. But what about the Saints? What does last night, you talked about their defensive front and how well they played. Overall, what does last night say about the Saints?
They're getting it together. You know, I think early on, I think there were a lot of questions about, obviously, Drew Brees, the downfield ball. But I think you're seeing health. I mean, you know, when you have the full complement of offense on the field, the Saints can still be effective. But again, I think this comes down to, can you protect Drew? You know, make sure Drew doesn't get hit consistently. But to me, the flip side of this is that if the Saints defense comes around, that's a secondary that's had problems. You know, they make the addition of Quan Alexander, which was really interesting. Before the trade deadline, it's a team that's, you know, going to have salary cap problems next year. You kind of feel the all-in push by the Saints right now. But the defensive front, if that front can apply pressure the way that you know, Davenport's a guy they went all in the draft to add him. I mean, if you're getting pressure consistently from that front, the Saints are going to be tough to deal with. And you look at the NFC, I think this was the declaration that right now the NFC is completely wide open. It could be Seattle. You know, when you want to talk about Super Bowl favorite, it could be Seattle. It could be the Saints. You know, obviously Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are going to be there. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, there's, you know, Green Bay Packers right now. Aaron Rodgers is playing some of the best football of his career. I think it would be really hard to sit here and go, yeah, that NFC team right there, that's the Super Bowl favorite. You basically have four or five teams that could all end up being the Super Bowl rep in the NFC.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. All right, so flip that over to the AFC for a minute. Pittsburgh comes back. They beat Dallas to move to 8-0. I mean, certainly you could argue that that was a major trap game. They find a way to get through it. Halfway through their schedule, they are undefeated. What do you make of what you've seen from the Steelers so far?
Well, you know, I think offensively, it's a team that I think consistently, if you can get them running the football a little more consistently, they're going to have a shot at one of these seasons where it's, you know, 14-2, maybe 15-1, one of the more memorable seasons, you know, for Tomlin. But I still think this is going to come down to ultimately, where can Ben Roethlisberger take you? Like, it's, remember, if you're sitting there and you're looking at the AFC, it's, you're going to have to go through Kansas City at some point. Like, the way Kansas City's playing football right now, I think they've separated themselves along with the Steelers from the rest of the NFL, particularly, you know, Baltimore was a team that we talked about early. Tennessee was a team that we talked about early. We've seen some flaws there. I still think Kansas City's the gold standard. So you have to look at Pittsburgh and say, can you go up and down the field with Kansas City consistently? Either can your defense stop Kansas City consistently, or can you go up and down the field with them? I think even Pittsburgh's defense, as good as it is, and remember, they lost Devin Bush, and they've been able to handle that right now, you're still going to get into one of these 30-35 point shootouts with Kansas City. On an off day, Kansas City scores 35 points. So is Ben going to be able to basically step toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes and produce consistently enough, you know, to keep up with the Chiefs? Right now, if I'm the Steelers and I'm Mike Tomlin, you're figuring out, how do we measure ourselves the rest of the season against these guys? What tweaks can we make? What, you know, developmentally, what can we continue to add to our offense the remainder of the season to prepare for the Kansas City game that we know we're ultimately going to run up against these guys in the playoffs?
I mean, actually, to answer the question, right, like, no, nobody can. Nobody can stand in and go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. The way you do that is by keeping the ball out of his hands. I mean, God, this guy, the numbers, Charles, are insane. He passes for 372 Great. Yards, four touchdowns on the season, 25 TDs, and only one INT, and nobody's freaking out. Nobody even blinks. It just seems so natural. Like, when you look at this guy's career, 101 career TD passes, 19 career INTs. When you consider how good he is, how young he is, the fact that he's going to get better, the talent that he has around him, how special can this era be with him and that team?
Oh, he's flying. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like you said, I mean, nobody's freaking out. That's the weird thing about it is, you know, I have an MVP vote, and you're always assessing, you know, as the season goes on, kind of who's in that race and how, you know, how does it work? And it's been all about Russell Wilson, or, you know, you talk about Aaron Rodgers, and there was a moment where, I think it was like last week, where I started to look at kind of what Pat Mahomes was doing, and I'm thinking, man, we don't even talk about this guy but he's having, in terms of, you know, one half of a quarterback season, one of the greatest ever in history. I mean, he could legitimately end up having a season where he throws a 44, 46, 48 touchdowns and two, three, four interceptions, which is insanity. Like, it's even in this era of the NFL to be not only that efficient, you know, scoring, but just it's such a turnover predicated game when you talk about wins and losses, to have a quarterback who can protect the ball that well. And the way that he does it is, it's otherworldly. I grew up in an era where it was like Dan Marino was, you know, the gold standard guy, and how could anyone ever match Dan in terms of numbers, the way he played football. I think Pat Mahomes realistically has a chance. And again, we're so early in his career, but the way this is projecting out, barring catastrophic injury or the team just completely being disassembled around him, where does this change for him? Because I don't see how the league has had a few years to adjust to Pat Mahomes and not been able to do it. And so what's fundamentally going to change to knock him off his axis? I think it's like Marino. We've spent years and years and years looking at Dan Marino going, well, at some point the league can adjust to him, or, you know, there were fundamental flaws with Miami. They couldn't find a running game. There were reasons why he didn't win the Super Bowl. He got that out of the way early. Mahomes did. So to me, he is, could end up being that era-defining, you know, maybe league-defining quarterback that Tom Brady became before him, and Dan Marino, John Elway became before him, Joe Montana. To me, he's taking the league to an entirely new place, and it's become, he is so in orbit, we're so used to how he plays that we don't even stop to look at his numbers and go, we've never seen anything like this before, but that's actually what's happening right in front of us.
And the guy is unworldly. Charles Robinson joining us for a few more moments. So you and Therese talked about this on your podcast. You guys talked about what a blast it was to watch Tua and Kyler yesterday. I don't want to get too carried away because it is pretty early, but when you're watching a rookie and a second-year QB playing like the two of them did that feel like that might be a preview of things to come over the next 10 or 15 years?
Yeah, you see a lot of these guys that are running up into each other the first few years of their career. I mean, you saw it with Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes. You know, I guess Russell Wilson was kind of the in-between guy who ushered in this, you know, hey, we can have shorter quarterbacks, or we want quarterbacks who can both throw it and run it, you know, economically. And were these younger guys, though, as you said, Tua, Kyler, that's sort of that next wave, that next transition, because – hey, Trevor Lawrence is going to come in and, you know, he's big, strong arm, but he can run. You know, Justin Fields is going to come in and, I mean, tune into any Ohio State game and tell me that he's not going to give Trevor Lawrence everything he can handle to be the number one pick in the draft. It's, you know, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. There's no more. You're not going to see the Joe Flaccos anymore. I believe that. You're not going to see these statues, guys who can have, you know, 10-year solid careers, win Super Bowls, being people who can't create or can't move around in the pocket consistently. It's being pushed out of the game from the college ranks. And when you watch Kyler, you watch Tua, you don't even think anymore about, you know, especially when you see Kyler play, you're not like, well, geez, this was a guy who never in a million years could have made it in this league because of his height. Now you just look and you go, he's faster than everybody else on the field. He's got an arm. He might be the best running quarterback in the NFL right now. I think the quarterback era right now, we spent all these years wondering, how are we going to transition from Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, you know, Eli Manning, all these guys who are putting up big numbers and who are kind of those statue quarterbacks. How are we going to transfer out of the golden era, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees? How are we going to transfer out of that golden era, and what's the next golden era of quarterbacks going to look like? You're watching it right now. Go look at the top 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks in the league. That's these guys, and that's where this is all going, and that's where the college game's going to go. You're going to see it all trend toward guys that have the big arms but can create and can move and aren't just going to stand back there anymore.
Such a good point. And to answer the question, like, how? Like, not without a problem. No problem at all. It's great. It's amazing. Like, to your point about Kyler Murray, too, I would just say really quickly, Charles, like, a few years back, because of his height, he would have never gotten a look. I'm going to stand by this. I think pound for pound, he's the most electric player in the league. I can't take my eyes off this guy. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing the way the game evolves and as quickly as it happens. He's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Good friend of the program, Charles Robinson. Dude, great job. Have a great day. Thank you so much for it.
Thanks for having me, brother. Be safe out there.
You too. Charles Robinson, I really appreciate him and the fact that he will come on as often as he does and just break it all down. Nobody better. It's so true, though, about the evolution of the position and how quickly it all changed. And Pat Mahomes, I've never seen anything like Patrick Mahomes, honestly. The start to his career, these numbers are mind-boggling, and nobody stops to give it even a second thought. 101 career TD passes and 19 picks, and nobody even says anything. On the season, 25 touchdowns and one INT. I mean, I'm not going to play that if we were to stretch that out and project. But the fact of the matter is, and to Charles's point, I mean, would it really surprise anybody if this guy threw for 46, 48, 50 TDs and only had two or three picks? I mean, not only would it not surprise anybody, I don't think anybody would give it a second thought. It's just Patrick Mahomes doing Patrick Mahomes things. This guy's going to have a career, if he stays healthy, a career that I think is unparalleled because of the guy calling the plays, because of the talent they have around him, and because he's such an anomaly. He's such an outlier, and he's still getting better. He's not even at the peak of all his powers yet. When we come back, we'll change up. We'll talk some college football. Tom Allen is the head football coach at Indiana. They're coming off another big win. They put a beat down on Michigan. Michigan was never even in that game. Classic boat race. Tom Allen joins me when we come back.